Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we've been thinking together from a New Testament book called the Book of Galatians, or the Epistle to the Galatians. The Apostle Paul, on his first missionary journey, had gone to four cities in an area called Galatia. It was a little bit to the north of Antioch and over to the west. Not too far away, not as far as Paul later went on his journeys, but he was about partway across the Asian area. And in these four cities, Iconium and Antioch of Pisidia and Derbe and Lystra, the Apostle Paul had preached the gospel and preached the truth, and many hundreds of people got saved. The problem was that Paul could not stay behind to really build them up in the faith, because Paul was chased out of these cities by severe persecutions in almost every city. And so the Apostle Paul, after preaching the gospel, after seeing many hundreds come to the Lord Jesus in these cities, had to flee for his life to the next city, and then in that city he would be persecuted again. So he had no opportunity to really build these people up in the faith. And then on his return to these cities, when he was about to go back to Antioch again and leave the Galatian area, the Apostle Paul tried to appoint some leaders. I personally feel this was somewhat of a mistake because these leaders weren't trained. So he appointed leaders at the end of chapter 14. He appointed leaders in these churches and then returned to Antioch again. And so what happened was this. Paul was not there anymore with them. Paul can only visit them, in fact, in the future. Only occasionally. He would go back there and make a brief visit. So he was not with them anymore. But there were some people who were with them. And these people were the false teachers. They were what we call the Judaizers. They came in to these churches, perhaps even pretending to be Christians, and they were saying to these believers, well, Paul's not here anymore, is he? And when is he going to come back? Of course, nobody knew. And when is he going to teach you further concerning these things? Nobody knew. And so these false teachers said, well, Paul didn't teach you everything. Now, we're not denying what Paul said. We're not denying that you have to come to God by faith. But with faith, you also need to follow the law of Moses. In other words, you need to add this, because Paul never taught you these things, and now we're here, sent by God to teach you these things. No, they were not sent by God. They were false teachers. All false teachers are not of God. They are of Satan. And so, these people had come in, and they were pretending perhaps even to be Christians, to be some among them. We're going to teach you more of the truth, and we'll be here any time you have a question. So any question that came up from these untaught Galatians, why they would answer these questions. These were just young Christians. They had trusted Christ, but now they were being led astray. And their fault was, again, they were following the law of Moses in addition to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is the purpose of the writing of the book. This has come to the attention of the Apostle Paul. Word has come down to Antioch over there in Syria, over on the other side of the empire there. Word has come to him that there's been false teaching, and the Galatians have mostly followed the false teaching. Perhaps a few had not, but many of these hundreds of believers had followed this false teaching. And it was a heresy. It was something terribly wrong with the truth. Paul says very clearly in the first chapter, this is not the gospel anymore. It's another gospel, which is not the gospel. And so in this chapter, chapter 5, which we're going to begin today, he's saying that they have departed from grace. They're no longer under the grace of God. Grace is unmerited favor, unworked for favor, favor we do not deserve in any possible way. And now they've departed from grace, and they've gone into works as a means of either getting their salvation or keeping their salvation or living the Christian life. And none of those things were to be part of their faith. Their faith would take them into salvation. By grace through faith, they would have eternal salvation if it was truly from the heart. And then they would live the Christian life by the indwelling Holy Spirit who had regenerated them first, causing them to be born again, according to John 3, verses 3 to 7, causing them to be born again, and then who would indwell them as their instructor and teacher and leader and the power in their lives to overcome sins that would come their way. So, I've said all of this in a few sentences, and I hope it's not confusing what I've said. But I'm simply saying that any departure from the true gospel makes the gospel no longer the gospel. It's not the gospel anymore. You've departed from grace, in other words. So if you're following the teachings of man, if you're praying to anybody else, if you're depending upon the church to take you to heaven, if you're depending upon baptism in the church where I attend, or the sacraments in the churches you attend, if you depend upon anyone else or anything else to help you go to heaven, you're not saved. You're not going there. There is no other name under heaven. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There is none other name under heaven given among men by which we might be saved. Now, some very religious and very sincere people will pray to other people. You may pray to the mother of Jesus or pray to other people. But Acts chapter 4, verse 12 very clearly says there is none other name under heaven by which we might be saved. Only Jesus is a means of salvation. So I'm speaking respectfully of those of you who may be very religious but lost. A very religious but lost person can be attending the church I attend, the Harvest Baptist Church. And this person may believe somehow that what Pastor Heron says is good, but his good works are also going to help him to go to heaven. This person is not saved. Not saved. Even if he says he believes in Jesus, if he's also depending upon good works or anything else to take him to heaven, he is not saved. Because only Jesus can take you to heaven. All right, now I've taken a long introduction, but this is the first four chapters that I've been referring to. The first four chapters are what we call the doctrinal section of the book. And they're very, very important to understand that if you follow the law, then you're not going to be saved. Because the law itself cannot take you to heaven. Even the Apostle Paul, who by this inspiration of the Holy Spirit wrote this book, had to admit this in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 6, he had said, "Under the law I was blameless." In other words, he thought he was saved because he followed the law. But suddenly he came to the truth of his sinful condition before God, and that was one of the main purposes of the law, not to save people, but to show them their sinful, lost condition before God. And so he had come to the realization that he was a lost sinner, even though he had kept every little precept of the law. In his heart, before God, he was still a hopeless, lost sinner. Because of his thought life, because of his words, his attitudes, his feelings, his desires, and everything else inside him, not just what he did, but the things inside him, God was judging and judged him to be a hopeless, lost sinner. And so in verses 7 and 9 of chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, he gives his testimony. "But what things were gained to me, those I have counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but garbage or refuge, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith in Christ." Now, I've given you again a long passage, but I'm trying to point out to you, come to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Put everything else aside, just like Paul had to do. His Jewish heritage, the following of the law, his perfection under the law, he put it aside as he realized his sinful condition and came to the only one who could save him from his sins. Now we've come today to chapter 5, and I want to begin talking about this, and I want to go into this very, very slowly. It'll be a number of lessons before we finish the study of chapters 5 and 6, because we're going to move forward very, very slowly. Now, everywhere we stand, everywhere we live, we are faced and surrounded by false teachers. They'll knock on your doors. You can hear them on the radio. You can see them on television. There are false teachers everywhere, and you have to determine, I'm only going to follow what God's Word teaches me to follow. I will not follow anything else except the Word of God itself. Now we've come to chapter 5, and I want to read this passage, and then perhaps we'll be reading parts of it again and again for you. But I want to read chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. This is now what we call the practical section, but in these first verses, he's reviewing now the heresy of the past and the victory of the future if they will put aside the false teachings and really depend upon the Lord Jesus as their Savior and the Holy Spirit as their guide in the Christian life. So So these are the words now of chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Now, verse 31 of chapter 4 had said this, So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And now he says in chapter 5, Stand fast in the liberty, or the freedom, with which Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage, in other words, living back under the law. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, If ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Verse 4, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are, who are justified by the law. That is, who think you're justified by the law. Whoever you are justified by the law, Christ is of no value to you. That's what he's saying here. You are fallen from grace. Mark that in your Bible. If you're following the law of Moses, if you're depending upon the law to either help save you, to help keep your salvation, or to live the Christian life, what he's saying here is you have fallen away from the grace of God. Mark it in your Bibles. Face it honestly before God. Verse 5, For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now, I've talked about the Spirit, and we're going to talk much about him in these two chapters. Verse 6, For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you, yet you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Who does it come by? It comes from Satan. In other words, it's not God that's teaching you to follow the law. It's Satan himself who's leading you astray and putting you back under good works as a means of keeping your salvation and living the Christian life. I'll do good works, and then I can be successful. The man in Romans chapter 7 tried this. He devoted himself as a new Christian, devoted himself to going back to the law and trying to live his Christian life by the law. And finally, he comes to total despair. And he says, Woe is me! Who can deliver me from this body of death? He failed every time. All right, now verse 9. This is chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole loaf. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that you'll be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. Now these are the false teachers he's talking about. Let them depart. Let them get out of there. And God is going to judge him. He's going to say, whoever he be. Verse 11, And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I would that they were even cut off which trouble you. Now, I want to stop our reading right here. There is a danger in not standing fast in the freedom of the salvation you have found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to be fair. Some of you have not yet found this foundation. This salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not yet have this as a foundation for your lives. And I want to say very seriously, until you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin, none of this teaching of chapters 5 and 6 will be of any value to you. As I'm going to be teaching what the Christian life is all about from the book of Galatians chapters 5 and 6. We're going to strictly follow the Word of God, of course. Not my teaching, but the Word of God. But I'm going to be teaching you these two chapters. But if you have not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, or if you are trying to come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, plus everything else that you are doing in your church and everything else, you're not going to go to heaven. And you need to trust the Lord Jesus alone. So this is for people who now are free in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has freed us from the bondage of our sin. He's freed us from everything that has troubled us, that caused us to be lost in our sins and unworthy before God. And now we stand righteous before God in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, wonderful truth this is. We stand righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a danger in not standing fast in the freedom in which he has brought us. First of all, it is obvious that giving up their freedom in Christ in favor of living under the law is going to be a continual temptation to these Galatians. And I want to say it is to us today, because the false teachers will surround us, even those of you who have trusted the Lord Jesus, but perhaps have never studied the Bible. You've really trusted Him. You're dependent upon Him as your only means of salvation, but you're even baptized, but you have never studied God's Word. You've never grown in the faith. You're going to be prey. You're going to be a victim of these false teachers. They'll come to your house. Their teachings will sound logical. You'll listen to television or to the radio, and some of their teachings are going to sound somewhat logical to you, and you're going to be tempted to follow their teachings. So these Judaizers, these false teachers in the day of the Galatians, made their teachings very attractive. In other words, they said that living under the law, of course, they were using clever arguments to stress the ties they claimed that Galatians need to maintain, but these teachers were teaching that living under the law was God's way of leading them on. In other words, even if they were Christians, they could not live their Christian lives successfully without the law. And so God wanted to tie together the law of Moses with their lives. And it sounded like a very, very clever argument. No matter what the truth might be taught by Paul, they were saying, no matter what truth they might have been taught by Paul and others concerning God's different workings in different periods of time. And I want to emphasize this in closing. I'll come back to this again in the next lesson. But I want to emphasize this in closing. In various periods of time, God has worked in different ways. But God's truth has continued through the ages. In other words, in the Old Testament, only the Jewish people were under the law of Moses. The Gentile people in the New Testament were only told in Acts chapter 15 four simple little things taught in the law of Moses. First of all, do not worship idols. Number two, they were not to do immorality. Number three, because there were Jews in every city, they were trying to win to the Lord, the Messiah of the Jews. Because of this, they were not to offend the Jews by eating meat that was strangled or by eating blood. No other precepts were they under. No other of these hundreds of rules of the Old Testament were they under. And so the Lord directed the church there in Jerusalem to give these instructions to Paul. Because there are Jewish people in every city needing to be saved. You lose your testimony before them if you worship idols, if you do immorality, or if you eat blood, and so forth. Well, I follow the same rule today. I've mentioned before that if a Jewish person came into my home to eat dinner, and I was trying to win this person to his Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, I would not serve him pork, and I would not even have pork in the house. Now, I want to continue this in the next lesson, but I want to simply say again, it's my prayer that first of all, you'll study the Word of God and believe the Word of God. And it's also my prayer that you'll come to the only means by which you can be saved, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. There is none other name, remember that verse, Acts 4:12, under heaven by which we might be saved. So those of you who are very religious, it's my prayer, come to Jesus. Come to Him as the only means of your salvation. Put aside everything else, your dependence upon the church, upon people, upon the ordinances or the directions of your church. Put aside everything else and come to the Lord Jesus. And then, of course, worship Him with true believers in the faith. May the Lord help you, each one.